Brand new music you're listening to. It's only on Kenya's Premier Asian Mix. This is East FM having breakfast with Aleem and Seema with Sunil Shah, this young man who's come in.
I just want to tell you, the name of his website, if you want to get online, is geekonabicycle.co.uk. Yes, you heard me.
Very
right.
Inspiring.
Geek on a bicycle. Is that, okay, why geek? Is it really because you think you're a geek? Is it the spectacles?
Oh, no, it's my old lifestyle, I think.
Yes, so you're comfortable calling yourself a geek?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, I'm proud of it.
Okay. You do know what the saying is, right? Geeks and beauties will be taking over the world shortly.
Well, in that case, you and I are both sorted out.
Nah, yes, we are, eh?
Flattery, isn't it?
Woo-hoo!
There you go. Now you see, that's why you married me. Now you know. Okay.
False hope is what it is. So, what exactly managed to inspire you to do this? I mean,
you're
sleeping
with the charity,
in tents.
Right?
Gosh.
What is the charity that you're working with?
So, it's basically a Montessori school in Tanzania who are looking to raise money to build a training college. Because
okay.
They have a problem with finding teachers in Tanzania. And if they build this training college, it will let them train local teachers who can't afford to go abroad to get their Montessori diploma. Mm-hmm. And basically, the more teachers they have, the more kids they can teach, and they can open more schools and
educate the world.
It's the Adam Smith
wonderful
trickle-down effect of economy, which actually works very well, I hope, fingers crossed. I asked you a bit earlier, any one place in your trip that you would say, right, I'm going to pitch a tent here for the rest of my life, where would that be?
It'd be Sudan in the desert.
Just, really?
Yeah.
Why? What's so about the desert?
Complete solace. You're completely alone out there. That you'll see two cars a day, maybe, and they'll be the cars who are building the road, the trucks. And at night, there's not a single cloud in the sky. It's a perfect temperature, and you can see every single star all around.
And then the day, you just sweat and melt away.
You need to make sure you have at least 500 liters of water.
In the desert, too, eh?
Okay.
That's convenient.
Yeah, of course. Every day, 500 liters.
What
of
kind
water.
Of equipment did you have to take with you? What kind of preparation did you go through before you set off for this kind of
thing?
It
took a while. It was about 4 months worth of planning. We had a locker which is tiny, basically a space for two duffel bags, and in that we had to fit 4 months worth of clothes, bike spares, our tent, sleeping bag, sleeping mat, a whole host of other things, dish kit, everything you need to survive, basically.
Just the works, eh? And you had to, what about your bike itself? How was that? Was this the one that you've been, you know, riding since high school?
No, I didn't have a bike that was suitable for Africa, so...
What do you mean by not suitable for Africa?
Oh, get with the plot. It has to be theft-proof and bulletproof.
Oh, right, sorry. Uh-huh.
No, it was just, you want a bike that's fairly simple, because when you're cycling here, there's no way to get spares unless you have them with you. So I didn't want to take anything with suspension or fancy disc brakes or whatever. So my bike is basically, it's a road bike,
mm-hmm,
with fat tires, and, you know, it's a very strong frame, which I got from China. A friend and I bought all the parts together, built it up exactly, you know, it's the bike for this trip, basically.
So you built your bike,
yeah,
kinda. Oh, that's interesting. I was going through your list of equipments that you carried, amongst which you have something called a cycle computer. Is that like your computer that, you know, you generate power by cycling onto it or something like that?
Not quite.
And if I'm right, I swear I will just do a whoop for myself. what was that?
It basically tells you your speed and your distance. Your distance is very important, because, you know, when you're cycling for 200 kilometers in a day and it gets to 1 o'clock and you're wondering where on earth you are, it's nice to be able to look down at your handlebars and see, okay, I've done 160, there's only another 2 hours left. So.
Okay, and then after that, there's another thing called a cassette. Was that for entertainment and listening to music and stuff?
Oh, no, the cassette is actually the cogs at the back of the bike.
Oh,
not quite.
Did he say cob, like, you know, for Makai?
Cog, cog, C-O-G.
Okay, I'm...
I'll give on, pay attention.
Okay.
Right, anyway, moving on to other things. You've learnt a lot. I'm sure you're going to take back experiences. The one final important question is this. If anybody else is crazy enough to do this, what would be your advice?
Bring suspension. Yeah.
I was expecting something nice and philosophical. Yeah. Don't give
like
up. And be strong. And you can do this. Bring suspension.
No, seriously, though. Just stay optimistic, I guess. Because there are days when you think it's, you know, the worst day ever, and you're not going to be able to get back on your bike. But as long as you're happy, you'll make it to the end and you'll enjoy it. So.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Sinel, for coming in this morning.
Okay, so I'm just going to do this once again. So you started bicycling when you were a fat kid, right?
Yeah.
And you lost a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Right. So, Lynn, did you hear that story, Lynn?
No, I didn't.